2. Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Tales from the Flip Side simulcast on the Diesel Powered Podcast, and I am your host, the comic book loving, time traveling, diesel punk prophet of pop culture, the artist also known as the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, Big Daddy Cool. This is John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And joining me here in the Houdini room from the Casa de Cool is the one, the only, the beautiful, lovely, talented steampunk celebrity model, Mrs. Sarah Nethery.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Sarah. I am so excited to have you live here in the studio. We've been talking about doing this for a couple of weeks. For fans who aren't familiar with you, and I can't imagine that any of our listeners don't know who you are, you're pretty well known in the steampunk and diesel punk community for your modeling and cosplay work. Tell our fans a little bit about yourself and how you got into doing steampunk, mostly cosplay, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't just do cosplay. But I'll
talk. Okay, we'll talk about that
in just a second. Well, I actually I loved the aesthetic before I knew what it was called, and it's when I met my husband James.
Mm-hmm.
And
I neglected to say that she is the husband of James Nethery, who you saw on the show Steampunked.
I'm the wife.
What did I say?
You said the husband. What do I look like here?
He's the husband of her. Okay.
Well, I always loved the aesthetic of it. Didn't know what it was called. And then it's before James and I got married. And he was like, oh, I really love steampunk. And he was showing me pictures of it. He just joined. And I was like, oh, so that's what that's called. That's steampunk. And so he and I both kind of got involved in everything together. And I've played dress up since I can remember. And I just decided to not stop. And so it was fun. It was a really cool outlet to do costuming and be creative and create new characters and just get to play dress up as an adult. And it's socially acceptable somewhat.
Well, and you were telling me before that though, mm-hmm. you did pinup modeling.
I have always loved pinup. I've done quite a bit of pinup, and anyone who knows me before I got into steampunk, I'm a pinup. So it's kind of, I don't know that it ever left. I just, that was kind of my first love.
Well, so you made kind of a shocking confession on your Facebook profile about 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to have you on to talk about that a little bit. Even though you are known for your steampunk work, you publicly posted that your real passion is for diesel punk.
I love diesel punk, and I'm not ready to give up my steampunk card yet. But I do love diesel punk. I've loved it for a very long time. And again, it was kind of the same thing as steampunk. I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that. I've always loved the time period. I've always loved the aesthetic of that. And so, yeah, I have. I've always loved it.
It makes sense. You know, pinup modeling, pinup photography really came in its heyday during the diesel era, during mm-hmm. the jazz age. So you already had a natural affinity for that, so it makes
Absolutely.
A lot of sense.
Yes.
And we talk about this on the podcast all the time. We hear that story over and over and over that, you know, people were into the aesthetic, but never knew it was like a thing.
Like a genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the same way in high school. I've always been wearing a fedora, even back in the 80s. You know, I was a huge fan of Indiana Jones and Glenn Miller, and you know, I wore a suit and tie to school in high school with my Indiana Jones fedora, not knowing that Indiana Jones was, you know, deco flavored diesel punk. And we talk about that a lot too. Mm-hmm. Now you said in one of our exchanges online that the deco aesthetic is your favorite of the diesel era.
I really do. Because, I mean, diesel punk, as you know, it spans over a couple of decades there.
Yep, that's right.
And so that time period, it was happy and it was shiny and it was fun and
like
lively.
You.
You're not wrong. but no, it was such a happy time. And it was kind of before things got scary during that time when the wars hit and all, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that I think that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah, mine too. I really gravitate towards that deco aesthetic of the diesel era. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations recently on the podcast about that and about how, I hope this didn't just shut off completely.
Oh, no.
No, we're good.
Okay.
Monitoring the mobile studio as we're recording. This is a pretty cool setup. I've got my Yeti microphone, which picks us both up, plugged into my iPad on the mic stand. Here, I'm going to show it for
it's
the
audience. It's kind of a sophisticated getup.
Yeah, look at that. That's pretty cool. And look at how cute she is in her pencil skirt and fishnets. I'm not wearing pencil skirt or fishnets. But
he was, and I had to get them from him. Yeah. I had to borrow them, so those look better on me than you.
But anyway, we were talking about on our show how the deco punk subgenre of diesel is really becoming more and more prominent, and the term deco punk is becoming a lot more used.
Mm-hmm.
Back 5 years ago when we started this podcast, I didn't know there was such a thing as diesel punk. I just knew Big Daddy Cool was, you know, a 1940s swing hipster that blended the styles of the 20s, 30s, and 40s to create a, you know, a very iconic kind of look. And then I found, you know, I'm sitting around with some friends who are into steampunk, and they're like, "Have you ever thought about steampunk?" And I'm like, "Nah, but what would they have for me? What would they call it? Noir punk? Deco punk?" So I did a search for deco punk and found diesel punk.
Okay.
But because diesel punk was the already established and accepted term, I rejected deco punk as the label. But here recently, over the last couple of months, and especially the last couple of weeks, people have been using that term more and more and more. And there was an article, and this might ruffle some of your steampunk fan friends. There was an article on Barnes & Noble. The author basically, and her name is Sam Reeder.
Mm-hmm.
She basically stated that deco punk should be bigger than steampunk, or deserves to be bigger than steampunk. And it was an interesting, you know, she never really said why.
I noticed that. I was waiting for her to say why, but she never did.
Now, I agree. I love the idea of steampunk, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't my era, right?
Right.
So, and so I happen to agree, because we see the deco and diesel punk in more in film aesthetics and in music and television, just as a mass media culture, we see it more. But so few people connect with the term.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't know that they've ever heard it. I think it's really one of those things that they love the aesthetic. They love it the second they hear it. It makes sense, but I think that's why, is because they don't know what to call it. Just as a wide range of, you know, you can love this, you can love the way it looks, you can, you know, but I think that if people knew what to call it and that word was out there more, like it is starting to become that way. And I'm sure it will grow because people want to know what to call that. And they, you know, it's easier to go with something when you can kind of go, oh, that's what this is, and kind of give yourself this idea of direction of where you want to look into that. So I think that once people are more aware that there is an actual thing, that there will be more people that gravitate towards it, because people do love that era.
Yeah, they do. And remind me, before I forget, I don't want to go there yet, but be thinking about this. Your favorite diesel punk movie or media property. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But in pop culture, mm-hmm. in geek culture primarily, steampunk has been the big thing for at least the last 15 years, yeah. maybe. And why do you think that that has had such a huge growth over the period, as opposed to what? Let me ask you this: what draws people to steampunk, particularly? Do you think?
I think that there's different aspects of steampunk that you don't have with okay. diesel punk, not as much. One of it is the making.
Yeah, the maker aspect. That's right.
And that's a huge thing, and it's a huge part of the community. Also, I'm not a seamstress, but I love making my own outfits, and a lot of steampunk people do. And so I feel like it's an easier outlet, you know, to make your own stuff and to get in, and you can make things and create things, and you learn so much, and you learn all these skills. And it is a great community. And so I think that that might be one of the reasons why, you know, it has such a pull to it. There's so many different aspects of it that you can delve into. So, and I don't really feel like there's as much of that with diesel punk.
Well, that is a very true observation. We talk about it all the time that, you know, the steampunk community is really about kind of that individualism. And the makers are making objects that have a singular purpose, and usually it's very specific to them, mm-hmm. very unique and individualized. Whereas one of the hallmarks of the diesel era was the advent of mass production.
Right.
You know, in the diesel era, chrome-plated steel things were mass produced and produced for to be fast, loud and dangerous.
Yes.
And so because you have that mass production, I don't want to say you lose some of the individualism.
You kind of do a little bit, though.
It becomes more of a challenge to make it individual.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Because everything I wear comes off the rack. Mm-hmm. But, you've seen me at cons. Certainly nobody...
Always looking spiffy.
No one has the same kind of look and style that I have.
Right.
So, you know, I find ways to take the mass production and make it unique to me.
Right.
And so that it's not a historical reenactment, because that's part of the punk is, you know, the element of sci-fi fantasy, yes. counterculturalism, and anachronistic... ism. Is that a word?
Ism. It is today.
I don't believe in... Anyway, I was about to do my Jesse Jackson impression there, and I thought maybe I shouldn't do that. But, you know, like, you know, wearing the rings, you know, my character in the real 40s and 30s wouldn't have worn the different rings that I wear mm-hmm. and the jewelry, but by pulling that in... Do you like my key,
I
by
do.
The way?
I do.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, that's sporting it for the first
Devil's
time.
Devil's in the details.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's right. And so, like, you actually have this great hairpiece. Yeah. And that's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, you're able to take something that is, you know, mass-produced, but then completely customize it and individualize
yes.
it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the real fun parts.
Yes.
That keeps it from being historical reenactment.
Right.
And there's a huge reenactor community that we're trying to figure out how to tap into. Because, you know, World War II reenactors mm-hmm. and, you know, Great Gatsby reenactors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, huge community. But we don't, like, intersect.
Right.
Stylistically, yes. But, you know, culturally and socially... There's not been,
And I think part of the problem is we as diesel punks have tried to pull them over to our camp. What we really need to do is go to them.
Right.
And go hang out with them. That's my thought.
I just think the historically accurate time piece and people really get work and their costumes are beautiful and it's so cool. There's no way on the face of the planet I could ever do it. Like, just the super accurate. That's why I love the steampunk and the diesel punk and that stuff, because you can take things that you can get your hands on today and you don't have to be this super big seamstress to make a really cool thing.
That's right. And especially in the diesel punk community, there's a lot of that found object costuming.
Oh yeah. Repurposing.
You can go down to the thrift shop and find a great 40s era jacket or skirt.
Where I got this shirt that now has my Diesel Punk HQ.
All of you Diesel Punk HQ members, she's sporting the love. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. And for those of you who are just joining us on Facebook, Sarah is like, she looks like the bombshell Black Canary, but with black hair instead of blonde hair. And
I used to have blonde hair.
Did
it
you
was
really?
Like platinum blonde. I look like Marilyn Monroe in high school.
Really?
It was a thing, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had short hair and it was all curled up. I'm telling you, I liked the whole look before I...
Yeah. Yeah, it was, we were the weirdos, man, in high school.
And now we're just the cool weirdos.
We are now. The geeks have inherited the earth. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I am too. I'm a lot cooler with it now than I was.
So this is kind of off the subject, but, you know, do you find that people who kind of thought you were odd and weird in high school now come up to you and you're like, oh my God, I always thought you were just the coolest, you know, prettiest, most talented person I ever met. Does that happen to you?
Yes.
Well, and I ask because it happens to me.
I'm not trying to, I don't know, but no, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Isn't that weird? Does it like, how do you react to it?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, thank you. I never knew you felt that way.
And yeah, where were you in high school?
Right?
Because
we're adults now, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
I mean, these girls that I had a crush on that wouldn't give me the time of day, and now, like, they're flirting with me on Facebook, and I'm like, where was this? What's going on? I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah, there's definitely people that see pictures of me now. I was completely unfortunate looking in high school. Now, and I do look different, and I do have a certain maturity about me now and things like that. And they're very, hey, how are you? And I'm like, hey, super married. So, yeah, no, that's a thing.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. Anyway, that's off topic. But so we were talking about a couple of articles before we went live. The other one was posted by one of our Diesel Powered Podcast co-hosts, Eric Fisk. And it was Requiem for Steampunk. And he basically opined that, in his opinion, steampunk as a punk movement really no longer exists. You know, when it started in Seattle, mm-hmm. it really was an anti-establishment, countercultural movement.
Right.
You know, you read some of the literature from that era, and they were almost anarchist in their level of counterculturalism. But today, his point is that it's really evolved into something completely different, and lost the punk, or punk has taken on a new definition, meaning science fiction and fantasy.
Right.
And really, steampunk is really cogsplay. I came up with that term. What do you think about that?
Of cogsplay or the other stuff you just
said? Everything. Well, the term cogsplay.
Are you going to copyright and patent it?
No, I'm not one of those people. You can use that term without a cease and desist order.
Are they going to be like, did he just say Cogs Play? Or are they going to be like, Cogs Play?
What?
That could be a cool poll later.
yeah, we've probably had both.
Oh, okay.
I know our fans of the Diesel Powered podcast, the Diesel Punk fans, think Cogs Play is a great term.
Okay.
But steampunks that are watching are probably pretty offended that I just called it that.
It's interesting because I'm interested to hear what the diesel punk people and what the steampunk people are going to end up thinking about all this, or if I'm going to be disowned.
No, you won't be disowned because you're not giving up steampunk.
Absolutely not.
And you're still going to be doing that. You just happen to confess that your real passion is this style.
Yes, it really is. It always has been. But what you were talking about, the punk in steampunk, I get where you were going with the whole, it's kind of just turned into this fantasy, you know, science fiction and all this stuff. Yeah, I think it depends on who you talk to. I think that, you know, I see people get more of the punk stuff with it, but the whole anti-establishment part, if I really had to be honest, I would say that sometimes steampunk can kind of be super establishment in its own little thing.
Well, and that was Eric's point, was that, you know, now you have people who have trademarked the term steampunk or steam girls or claim to be the creator or the authority of steampunk, and that they have the right to say what it is or isn't. And at that moment, it no longer becomes a fringe movement, a countercultural movement.
Right.
It is mainstream. It's corporate at that point.
Right. I mean, you still can have some of the punk out there. I mean, I've been working on costumes before and went, is this steampunk? And then I catch myself going, how can I ask myself that? It's like, you know what? It's steampunk if I say it's steampunk and I do what I want.
Well,
it's a punk.
So that's there's a lot of that in the retro punk communities.
Yes.
It is what we say it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I've always been one to maintain that there still need to be some defining qualities from, because it's the marketer in me, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm writing a book. How do I categorize that book for my potential audience?
Right.
So you have to have some labels and some definitions and whatnot. But you know, for me, being a diesel punk, the punk part is, you know, rejecting casual culture.
Right.
You know, you don't see me wearing a t-shirt and cargo shorts and flip-flops. The national uniform, we call it. And my resistance and my absolute refusal to wear the national uniform is kind of my personal rebellious punk movement. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's true for a lot of us in the movement.
No, I think that individual thing, like you said, that is what makes it the punk part. Once you start trying to mainstream it and trying to, well, I need to fit in. I need to wear this skirt from this company and I need to have this and I need to have... No, you're not standing out anymore. That's not a punk. That's not being an individual. And yeah, diesel punk kind of has its, you know, it's like it's not the brown and brass. It's the more the silver and black and the, you know, things like that. Yeah, you're going to have those markers, like you said. But yeah, when you take that individual, I'm doing me kind of thing out of it, it really does lose the punk part, in my opinion.
Interesting. In a minute, we're going to open up for comments. And I think people have been commenting, but we can't see them.
I think it said like 50 comments.
Yeah, look, we got 25 viewers right now. And those of you who are listening on iTunes or on Stitcher, you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/BigDaddyCoolShows, and see the actual video as we post it later on. So before we finish up the audio portion of this interview, which has been excellent, by the way.
Aww,
I'm so happy.
You've been so good.
I'm so happy.
Don't
you
mess
came
up
and
my hair.
I won't. you don't have to worry about that with me. You know, I a lot of people ask me. It actually, it is all there, but
you just don't want to fool with it.
So well, you no, you know what it is. Away. In college, I was in a theme park stunt show, and a flash. I was setting a flash pot, and it went off prematurely, and it burned my hair off right here.
No.
It burned everything off, but this one spot never grew back, and so. I just got sick of, you know, trying to grow every, you know.
Cover it.
Yeah, doing the Donald Trump thing. So,
right. That's never
just
good.
Go intentional, right?
Hey.
Be intentional.
I don't know that I've ever really seen you without a hat.
Yeah, I always have the hat on, right? So was that a surprise?
That's kind of intense. No, it looks great. It looks great.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. So before we leave, I asked you earlier to think about your favorite diesel punk, maybe movie, TV show, book, something in the mass media that you really dig.
It would have to be Sucker Punch.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good. We don't talk about Sucker Punch enough on our show. You know, a lot of people include it in their list of diesel punk movies, but it's got a little bit of other genres mashed into
right.
it too. But I think that the predominant overall aesthetic is the diesel era.
I love it because it's got that cabaret-ness and it's got that, it has those diesel punk elements, and it's just, it's fun, it's a cool story, and it's well done.
It's, if you guys have never seen Sucker Punch, it's
go see it.
It's a mind screw movie.
It really, really is. At the end, you kind of have to go, what just happened? And then there's all these theories too. So, yeah, it's really interesting. It's fun. It's well done. It's beautiful.
It's a dream within a dream within a dream.
Yeah.
It's
Dreamception.
Yeah, it's kind of like Inception or The Matrix.
Yeah.
But with diesel punk aesthetics and cabaret singers, dancers, and then in some of the dream sequences, they're, you know, kick-ass diesel-styled warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it has the wrong title, though. Sucker Punch. Real. I get the idea that the ending, the story, is a sucker punch, but I think that's what hurt it in the box office. Is that I think it was just named wrong and not marketed well.
I think it was really hard to market that without giving away so much, because it's dark, by the way, and I don't know that I would let little kids watch it. It does have some really kind of dark undertones to it.
Poe Dameron is in it.
Yeah.
He plays a pretty bad dude in that.
He does.
Yeah, he's pretty skeezy.
He's really good at playing it, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the marketing with that, I think it's just too... It would be too hard to really put too much into a trailer. And so I think they kind of just had to give you a feel.
Well, yeah, they emphasized the action sequences in the trailers and made you think that it was just this, you know, total, you know, explosive.
You're waiting for a Michael Bay moment.
Yeah. And then you get into the movie and you're like, it's really more psychological.
It's extremely psychological.
Than it is action-packed. Mm-hmm. There are those action sequences, and you saw them all in the trailer.
Basically.
Yeah. But that's one of the reasons I loved it so much, was because it was so unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is the cool... Because I was like, it is... No, it's a Zack Snyder movie. Yeah, it's a Zack Snyder movie. And when I saw the trailer, I was like... just it looks like it's nothing but special effects, and that's just not for me. But then I got it on DVD. I thought, okay, it's on everybody's diesel punk list. I got to check it out, and I was just like, in love with it.
You know, when I first saw it in theaters, I was 12 weeks pregnant with my son, and I fell asleep in the middle of it and woke up at the end. So I. Because anybody that's ever been pregnant, you know how tired you are, and there's no stopping that. And I totally fell asleep, and James was a little bit pissed with me about that, just a little bit. He's like, you missed the whole thing. But I did get it later, and I loved it. I fell in love with it, and I mean, we own it.
Yeah, and it's a movie that you really need to see on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
DVD is cool, but that's one of those movies that you can really see and hear the difference in the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something that you want to see the details.
Yeah.
Because it gives a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's one of my favorite movies, too.
Oh, good.
It's great.
Good.
Great.
We're in agreement.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything you want to share with our audience before we say goodnight?
Well, I'm really glad that you had me on. I'm very thankful, and it's been awesome to be able to be a part of this, and I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and I hope that it's still okay to be steampunk and diesel punk.
We have quite a few crossover members, and it's good. Welcome to the family.
Is that the punk in me, that I'm both?
Yeah.
And I don't apologize.
Hey, you're a bi punk.
A bi punk. You are just like blowing it out of the water with these things.
I got a million of them. Well, tell folks listening where they can connect with you.
You can connect with me on Facebook. It's just Sarah Nethery. And also, you can go to starboardsky.com and you can see some of my stuff on there. You can see James's stuff. I also do sculptures and create jewelry and do all kinds of stuff. So you can get more information off that. I do have an Instagram, but I'm not on there very much. So it's Sarah Nethery too. So
Instagram is where it's at right now.
I know, and I have one.
You know what? I fought
it
too.
I'm bad at it.
Well, I was like, I like resisted it because I was like, okay, what's the point? Really, all you're doing is posting pictures. But then I started, and that is the point. You don't get any of these, you know how Facebook people get, they need to engage you to like prove you wrong or change your mind or start a fight. You know what I'm talking about?
Is that just you?
Surely not.
I'm just so agreeable.
Are you really?
No, I just don't put it out there on Facebook very much.
Well, I don't try to. I just,
no,
you know, I just put out my opinion. You know?
That's the punk in you.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, like today, I was like, Metro schools closed school because of potential severe weather. Really? And that thing escalated, you know, faster than anything I've seen. Well, people lost their minds that I would suggest the safety of our children isn't important. That's not what I was suggesting.
No, I mean, I was kind of surprised that they also, yeah, that's like Metro doesn't hardly shut down for anything. Oh, we might have some rain.
Yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, so connect with Sarah on Facebook. And what was the website again?
It's starboardsky.com.
Starboard Sky. And I've seen their stuff. They make jewelry and sculptures and artwork. You guys sell it at cons.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic. The watches that James makes. Every time I go by your booth at a con, I'm like, oh, I want that so bad, but I have no money.
He's made a couple in the past little bit that are so diesel punk looking beautiful.
I've seen them.
Maybe you'll get to look at some in Clarksville.
I can't wait. So let's talk about that real quick. We're both going to be at the Clarksville Anime and Toy Con.
Yes.
At the Riverview Inn, April 29th and 30th. So you guys can check us out there. That's at comiccitytn.com. You can get full details. And did you hear? They've got a special guest from Stranger Things.
Yes.
You're very excited about that.
I'm so excited about that. Mark Ballard always puts on amazing conventions. If you've never been to one, definitely check it out. He has a wide variety of, you know, vendors and guests, and they're great. So if you have a chance to check that out, definitely check that out.
And of course, you and James do other cons around the country. Mm-hmm. You were just at Wild West Con.
Mm-hmm.
What else is coming up this year that you guys are going to be at?
We have Steampunk World's Fair that's coming up in May. That's in New Jersey.
That's right.
We're going to be at Dragon Con this year. We are doing Motor City Steam Con in Michigan. We are going to be vending at Walker Stalker.
Ooh.
Which was a lot of fun last year.
Is that in Atlanta?
No, we're doing the one in Nashville. So all come right. See us. Look at zombies and come see us. So
very cool.
We're doing several others. I'm just trying to pull it all out right now. But those are some of the ones that we're doing.
That's awesome. And you can check out where I'm going to be performing live in my Facebook page. And of course, if you're watching live, you're already there. So lucky you.
Now you know.
Do us a favor. Go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/bigdaddycoolshows. Click subscribe, post a comment, and check us out on Patreon. You can support this show, patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And of course, listen to our other episodes of Tales from the Flipside and the Diesel Powered Podcast at www.dieselpoweredpodcast.com. And if you like the show, tell 200-300 of your closest friends and family. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.